Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
The rooster died.
I know. What happened to the rooster?
Someone, you choked your chicken.
I choked my chicken. Let's see what happens again. I don't know what it is.
Is this loose?
Is it loose?
Try it again.
Let me see.
That's dead.
Yep.
Just let it rest in peace.
How was your week, man? We'll start with your week, because my week was kind of crazy.
My week was pretty uneventful.
I heard Colton came in second place. Third place.
We got a bronze.
That's not a goal. So.
No, it's not.
Did he get beat down?
Yeah, he got his ass kicked.
Like, big time?
Well, it was an international competition, so the kids he was wrestling, one kid came from Mexico. Hmm. They drove up for the day from Mexico, and his dad was like a jiu-jitsu instructor, so he gets like trained
every day.
Constantly. He's like,
did it make you feel like a failure as a
father? No, not at all. I'm like, well, this was more of a hobby for my kid, not a way of life. And the kid just abused my kid.
Were you just like, ooh.
Yeah, he just jacked him up. He jacked him up hard. What are you going to do? It's like, he doesn't train every day.
Well, why not, Eddie? Why not?
I don't want him to be an MMA fighter. I just wanted him to
be able to protect himself.
Yeah, learn a little few basic jiu-jitsu skills. He doesn't need to.
He doesn't need to what?
Be like an MMA guy.
What if he wants to be a ninja?
He doesn't need to be a tap-out guy. I don't want to be a ninja. Wearing tap-out crap all the time.
I think I should be a ninja, and you put me in this fighting world.
Tattoos and tap-out clothes.
What if he honestly tells you that? What are you going to say, no?
I don't say no, but I'm not going to...
Like, dude, when I was in first grade, I wanted to be a ninja.
Everybody wanted to be a ninja. And then, like, by third grade, you're like, there's no such thing as ninjas. So.
I think everybody in our generation wanted to be ninjas because there were a lot of ninja movies at the time.
Yeah. The karate and ninja phase was in the 80s.
Yeah, but what happened to the ninja movies?
Because people were like, this is ridiculous. These are guys running around in their pajamas and swords.
But it was so cool.
Yeah, when you're in first grade.
That's nuts, man. That's nuts.
So.
I had a tough week. I'll talk more about it later, but one of my best friends passed away. This show tonight is going to be dedicated to Sean Healy. But other than that, I went to see Dave Matthews Band. And
where were they playing?
They played in San Diego and L.A. And you know,
did you see both shows?
I saw both shows. Mm. Well, yeah, they played Irvine, I guess. And do you know that they're tearing down Verizon Wireless?
Yeah.
That sucks. You know what they're putting there? Condos.
Yeah, figures.
Like, that's so dumb.
That's
like,
what they do.
Something so awesome, and then you just, like, put condos.
That's what,
like,
they do. That's what developers do.
I mean, do you think it'll make that much more money? I mean,
it'll make somebody money, more than an empty field.
Yeah, it sucks. Because Irvine I've seen Meadows. So many good concerts there.
Yeah.
Since, like, high school. Yeah. I mean, it's been there forever. So
yeah, it's condos.
It's a bummer. And I actually opened for Dave Matthews there, you know, I think 9 years ago. So it's kind of a sentimental thing. And now it's just going to be...
Condos.
I know they're all just going to look the same.
Yeah.
It's like they're taking, like, something super beautiful that where, like, a lot of diverse bands go.
Real estate developers, man. That's what they do.
Yeah, it's also because
they gentrify everything. What?
Yeah, gentrification's not totally bad.
No, not necessarily bad, but it.
But
it
in Irvine, really, you don't need more.
It really robs areas of its identity.
Well, you think? You think it's cultural or like?
I think artistic? That it's destroying Hollywood.
Yeah, well, I know that, and it's about to just really wipe it out.
It's just completely.
I heard
destroying
they're taking
Hollywood.
Out the Comedy Store. Have you heard this?
I don't know.
They're taking
you
the
told
House
me that,
Blues.
But I don't know if that.
Yeah,
is.
Like I heard. It's
I can't imagine. I'm sure
the
Comedy Store will get like a historical designation or something like that. I can't imagine them taking that out.
Yeah, that would be weird.
I'm
How
sure
long has that place been there?
70s. I mean, it was around longer as a restaurant, but I think it's the actual Comedy Store is like 60s or 70s.
That's where, did Robin Williams get his break there?
Ray Romano, like all those guys did that.
Anybody else with R's?
All the R comics.
So that was, it's been a kind of a crazy circus of a week,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been looking through old photos of my buddy and I. And because I have to talk at the funeral, I'm going to be a pallbearer for the first time, which I've never done before. Have you ever done that?
Twice.
How was that?
You just got to carry a casket.
Well, dude, I mean, that's got to be a heavy.
Let me see my grand. Oh, I've done it three times. I did two, both my grandmothers, my grandfather. Yeah, three times.
Not to be a downer, but that's just, I just feel like that's like a very crazy experience.
It's of, you know, it's. I don't know. Does he just carry it from the hearse to the where they put it on right. the ground, lower in the ground? It's not. I don't know. It's like I didn't think. Like I thought it'd be more than what it was before I did it, and then
right.
I did. And like
you did it, you're like, eh. The hard thing is like going through old photos and you just see so many. Like I laughed with this guy. You would have loved my best friend Sean because he was a very funny dude.
Where'd you know him from?
I grew up with him. I knew him since I was 14 years old. So we used to carpool to high school before we drove. Yeah. And
what'd he do?
He was a consultant for like insurance companies and like he didn't love like what he did, but he's like it pays the bills.
Yeah.
And he just moved into this great house and he just had his second kid like 6 months ago. So it's pretty brutal because his kids are so young. But
it's brutal.
I love the guy, and we used to do stupid stuff. Like there was one year, like in high school, we dressed up as hookers for Halloween, and then some fight broke out, and all of us were running in heels. It was like, dude, why did we do this? This is crazy. Or like we went to Tijuana for the first time when we were like 16 or 17.
Gross.
And I remember he was like, "Hey, dude, we're going into Baja California." Almost Mexico. Let's get it. Like, make sure that we don't get hustled. Make sure that we keep our eyes open. And like, we walk not even 3 feet into the border, and some guy comes up to us. He's like, "Hey, you guys want to buy insurance in case you get thrown into jail? It's only $20." And all of us are like, "Dude, this is a good purchase. This is a good purchase."
So God.
So we walk
jail insurance.
Day. Yeah, yeah.
How old were you?
We were 16, 17. No, I think we were 16.
You Oh
man, we did some crazy stuff.
Jail insurance.
Yeah, like you basically paid $20. And they give you a little like cut out piece of paper. I'm like, this is total bullshit. Like we got hustled.
Jail. There's no such thing as jail insurance
in Mexico.
So you just thought you give them $20. Like I can do whatever I want to here.
Well, they were like, just call us on this number. We'll bail you out. And I'm like, well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, this is a good idea, right? And all of us were like, yeah, this is a good idea. We should do this. We did so many bonehead things. Like
wow.
That. So it was.
That's
just,
the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Oh man, we did so many, so
that's
many.
That's the
dumb
stupidest
things.
Thing I've ever heard.
We did a lot of dumb things.
Dumber
lot
than
dumb
that.
Things.
Dumber than jail insurance.
Oh man, we used to get super drunk. This is how long I've known Sean.
Being drunk is one thing, but jail
we used to rent. We used to stay at my buddy's pad who had a golf cart, and in the middle of the night we'd get super trashed, and when all the sprinklers were on, we'd take the golf cart out and just do like off roading. We did off-roading in our SUVs. We did off-roading in golf carts. We just did nonstop, like, mischief, dude. I'm going to miss him a lot. But other than that, I'm going to dedicate a song at the end of the show. But, it's onward and upwards. And just have to kind of celebrate people instead of, remain in a puddle of tears, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like our special guest has arrived, Mr. Zuri Irvin.
All right.
How are you, man?
I'm good. Good to hear you.
Did you tell Eddie our connection that we used to be? We were
roomies.
Like, we were roomies for like what? A couple months?
I was saying maybe 5 months.
Yeah, 5 months.
Ships passing the night.
It was quick.
Yep. Ships passing
quick.
In the night.
It was like thing.
It was meant to be.
And I think you were working at Fox, right?
Yes, I am.
So like he was so smart because, dude, the apartment was like down the street from Fox. So, like, his commute was, like, 6 minutes, maybe?
I should have walked every day. But
you were lazy. Right, you were lazy.
Yeah. I biked for a few weeks, but mostly drove.
And then you're like, I'm tired of this.
Yeah. But it is nice. And I still live in the neighborhood, so I'm still near Fox, and I'm still around there.
So. All right. So you're pedaling by? You're like...
Yeah. Well, it's just driving from further. But yeah, so, thanks for having me very much.
Of course.
I'm sorry to hear about your friend.
Oh, no worries. No worries, man.
I don't have much to compare to
Welcome
that.
To the Downer Show.
He was like, we can reschedule. I'm like, no, man, we'll still do it. No, but I mean, you know, like, you know, you just released this book. Let's talk about it a little bit. It's called Fart Sounds. I want to ask you a little bit about the inspiration behind it.
Sure.
And you just released it last week, right?
That's correct.
So when I saw that he released it, I'm like, dude, I got to get him on the radio show. This is perfect. So I love showcasing, especially people that I just think are awesome. You're awesome, dude.
Thank you, man.
So, you know, you wrote this book. How long did it take you to write it?
It took about a year to put it together. It started about maybe a year and a few months ago when I was in between jobs, actually. I've been working at Fox for about 3.5 years.
Right.
But there was a period where I switched departments and I was no longer working there. So I was looking around and I was thinking, okay.
What do I do?
You know, what are my hobbies? What do I love? And this is always, I'm a crappy comedian. I'm an open mic comedian. I'm still working on my game. But aside from writing the book, I just wanted to get better. And I just wanted to learn some things. And I know Judd Apatow wrote a book very similar to that when he was like 15 or 16.
Oh, I didn't know that. Really?
He interviewed a bunch of comics. You know, like Jay Leno, Jerry Seinfeld, some other guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I am Judd Apatow. I'm that. That's
like,
what I said.
I want to be that
36
guy.
And Jewish.
Which you're not.
No, neither of those.
You're more like 25, African American.
Yeah. Close. Those are real close.
They're connected.
But I wanted to do something similar, and I just started reaching out to a lot of comics that I was either a fan of or that I knew that they were available online, on Twitter or on their personal website. And bit by bit, just saying, hey, you know, my name is Uri. I'm putting this together. Is this something you'd be interested in? I got so many no's. I got...
Really?
Probably...
Dude, Eddie, what's up with that? Comedians.
I don't know. He didn't ask me.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
So, I would have said no.
Yeah.
Eddie,
I got to tell you, honestly, no bullshit.
Yeah.
Eddie's one of my favorite comics in Los Angeles.
I just met him for 5 minutes, and I already understand how I made a mistake.
Dude.
Huge mistake. Yeah. Huge. Yeah. Huge. So, huge mistake.
Next time, Time Machine.
Huge.
You too can be in Fart Sounds, Eddie. He makes his own fart sounds, you know? He's available for parties.
I'm good at it. I have a 7-year-old. We're good at it.
Preamble. Is your son, how serious do you think he's going to get into the fighting game?
I don't think he's going to get...
He's gonna be a ninja,
it.
Dude. Okay. I'm telling you.
He just likes the
ninja.
He's not gonna be a ninja.
It's very popular. It's pretty. Do you watch a lot of fights on TV?
No, I hate it.
They're so gruesome.
I hate MMA.
Yeah, you have to really enjoy that.
I like professional wrestling, but I can't.
Pretty barbaric.
It's barbaric. It's like the worst day of their life for the guy that loses. And yeah. You kind of have to enjoy that. Too.
Well, I just don't know how you train. Like, I want to go into a thing where I'm gonna get punched in the face.
Right.
I know I'm gonna get punched in the
face.
And
those guys, like those, a lot of those fighters don't make that much.
No.
They make $1,000 a fight. Like, that's like most of them.
Like football, you know, you're going to get hit and tackled. I played football. I understand that mentality. Even like basketball and baseball, like, there's a chance I could take an elbow in the nose.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's not.
If something goes wrong.
That's not a definite thing.
Yes.
But like MMA, you know.
3 seconds in.
You know you're going to at least. You know you're walking.
A kick to the face.
You're going to at least.
Yeah.
16 to 17 punches in the face. Yes. At least.
That might be a good day. Yes. That's a good round. Maybe that's a good minute.
Like, how do you even, like, you gotta train for that. Like, I'm gonna go to work out and get punched in the face.
Right, that's a good point. You have to make it strong. You have to make your chin strong. Yeah. I'm not doing that either.
It's insane.
And, dude, some of those fights, man, like, when they open, like, they cut the guy, and, dude, it's just, like, crazy.
And the body blow, it's
dude,
just, like,
it's just so bloody.
And the one guy, I saw that one fight where the guy was kicking and his leg just shattered.
Mm-hmm. Oi. Silva, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's like his shin just went the... Oh God!
Back. And he's the best. He's like the greatest MMA fighter.
Yeah,
of all time.
And he like kicked the guy wrong and hit his shin and his leg just went forward. Oh, I was like, God. What the?
Jenny,
this is insane.
I played baseball when I was
a kid. Yeah, but like baseball, you're like, okay, I might get hit with the ball, maybe.
Baseball is just about nerves. It's just about, like, am I man enough?
Yeah.
Like, can I
hit this ball?
But you know, you're not walking into several face punches. Just insane.
I know. You know what? Let's get it back to Fart Sounds.
Yeah, sure. Sorry, I was curious.
First of all, how did you come up with the title?
There's a writer named Michael Brum who writes for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and he's a part of the book. And I asked every comic what makes jokes funny. That's the linchpin around it.
Right.
And everyone had different answers. A lot of them are really good. They're all really good. A lot of them are terrible. No,
really?
No, they're all really
you had
good.
You had to have some that were like, you're like, should I put this in the book?
Well, some things do get repeated, but I think that's more a sign of this is like a shared knowledge. It's like people are hit on the same things because like this is a shared circumstance. But right. This guy, Mike Brum, he's, that was his answer, fart sounds. And I just thought it was stupid. It was, like, silly enough to be serious enough. Because it's, like, a very serious analytical.
That's it's funny like that it was an answer. Like, he said, what makes jokes funny? He said fart sounds?
Yeah, I think he was just tired.
Well, he would like this. He would like this. He would like, well, you can't hear it. I don't know what's wrong with my board, Eddie. Yeah. I can't get my fart sounds.
Sarah Tiana's in the book.
She is.
She's talking about her. Where I was telling about the sketch show we used to do. That's yeah. The same sketch company where she came up with Carmen.
Yeah, I performed. From Reno 911.
Yeah, that's I performed crazy, with man. Her. Yeah.
We were supposed to meet as well, man.
Well, we didn't. And I'm not in the book.
I tell you one thing. I've made about $60 on it, and I don't think it's going to go.
Well, that's 60 more than I've made this year. So.
No, we'll go out to Burger King.
Who was like the one comic that you were like, oh my God, I can't believe I got him?
He's one of them. It's more so guys that work on shows that I've been huge fans of, right. A huge fan of for years. So there's another guy, Josh Gondelman, he writes on Last Week Tonight.
Right.
And he made this thing called Seinfeld Today, which is on Twitter. It's like they do retroactive Seinfeld episodes in tweets where it's like a modern version of it.
That's awesome.
It's really, yeah, he's like a really creative person, and I'm really glad that he was a part of it. Mostly because I'm a huge fan of Last Week Tonight. I'm a huge fan of The Daily Show.
It's my favorite. Do you know I get most of my news from that show?
Yeah.
Because and they say, it's so real. It's like, dude, they give it to you with no bullshit.
They really do. And they play coy sometimes when they say that they're not journalists, but they are. It's just it's a modern version of it.
Dude, what the biggest story on Last Week Tonight that I was blown away with was the Miss America pageant. Like,
yeah.
You hear so... like. You just see it on TV and you think it's one thing, and then you see how ridiculous
you know what?
It is.
I don't know if I saw that one.
You should watch that because okay. That's what made me start watching the show. It's an old episode.
Yeah.
And, man, it was, like, eye-opening. And then I was like, if they're going to do investigative reporting like that and make it funny, this is the kind of news I want.
You it's, know? You know, they'll talk about tax codes and kind of boring stuff.
FIFA?
FIFA, that one.
They opened that, yeah. You know, for me. I knew it was corrupt, but not to the levels that they showed me.
It's crazy because they don't have any guests. On that show.
Right.
And it's just him talking for half an hour. So there's a lot
enough
of research.
Crazy insanity in this world to talk for half an hour.
Yeah.
But they wait.
And I think like, it purifies it too that they don't have another, you know, like a wacko or something coming in to give you a different perspective. They just kind of.
Did you target him because you knew, like, his contributions?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. But, you know, mostly it was just people that were available. Is I cast a wide net.
No, that's why I'm not. I was just waiting.
You were so busy, Eddie.
I had lots of stuff.
Too busy, man. I actually hit up Eddie 6 times.
So much things going on.
You know what? It's in your
probably
junk,
try my Hotmail account.
Mail.
Which I don't check
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah. Six it's in your junk mail, dude.
My junk mail.
You didn't check it.
My Hotmail junk mail.
You didn't check it. That's what happens, man.
That's probably
what happens. Well, let's have you read something from it.
Sure.
What are you going to read us first?
Let's see. I want to start with something that a writer named Jill Twist said. She's also on last week, and she is explaining some things that she's learned since she started writing at the show, and this is from page 25.
All right.
The question was, generally speaking, what are some things you learned about comedy since joining Last Week Tonight? And she said, I've learned that you can write an infinite number of jokes on a topic. You don't get too precious with your work. When I started, I would think, I did it. I found the joke, as though there was some sort of secret buried treasure. And if I found it, then I won and finished, and I was finished searching. And then, of course, it would be cut for any one of a zillion completely reasonable and for a zillion of completely great reasons, and I would be devastated. Jokes, it turns out, are an entirely renewable resource, and I can always make more of them. And it really makes my day go by a lot easier if I remember that. So I like that part because, you know, writer's block happens all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes you think that you've run out of things to talk about, but
you also feel like, that joke when you write a joke, it's precious. And like I can't let it. That's like you hold on to it or whatever. And like especially people with like, I mean, there's so much in the world with like comedy police and people are like, oh, that's somebody else's joke, and like people hold on to these things like, well, fuck it, whatever, I'll write a new joke.
Yeah.
Like people don't have that mentality of like, well, take it, I'll write.
There's
a new
so
one.
Many people in the world now, and this like Donald Trump gets dissected so often that people are bound to have the same notion on the same topic, not necessarily the same joke, but it's bound to be a coincidence.
There's a lot of parallel thinking. I mean, parallel thinking happens all the time, especially in comedy.
So I thought she
happens in music
one.
Too. Happens in all creative forms.
Does that happen with like riffs and like?
Oh
and like,
yeah.
Well, there's only what? How many chords are there?
There's only how many chords?
Or whatever.
There's only you know 12 notes.
12 notes? So, yeah, there's going to be some overlap.
There's going to be
there's gonna be a little bit of overlap.
There's going to be a lot. So, and it's a language. It's like basically you have 12 letters, and you have to just make different words with them. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's definitely, you're going to have a lot of overlap and influence. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I love like hearing stuff like this because I never think of comedic writing in the same way as like a painting or, you know, music. It's interesting to see how they come up with ideas, you know?
It's hard, man. You know, I'm just getting into it. When I started, I went to school in the East Coast. I went to Syracuse. And my senior year, I was working in the city. I was working in Manhattan at MLB.com. And I was really lucky to be working there. But when I wasn't
especially
working...
Especially as a baseball fan, man.
Yeah, I know. It's perfect. You know, my head was so big.
You were like, damn. It never gets
you
better.
Are you Dodger fans in your garage?
Oh, yeah, I'm a big-time Dodger fan.
How do you feel about Puig?
I think he might not play with the Dodgers.
He got picked up by somebody else. What? Off waivers.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
They claimed him off waivers.
Really?
Yeah. An unknown team.
But they're not announcing it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, there you go. That's why I think that, I guess.
You think he peaked too early? He probably peaked too early.
I think he's just... he grew up in Cuba, right? Or where's he from? And he was just like a different way of life. And he came here and was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, to one of the biggest cities in the
country. Yeah, and like was like lights out awesome for that 1 year. And like he just got a lot really fast.
Yeah.
And I don't think he knew how to handle it.
You think it's because he's partying?
Part of it. But guys party. Like I think Jeter partied and he just kept it under wraps.
Yeah.
I think you can do that too.
Some people just go nuts.
Yeah, and then sure like the limits aren't the same.
Yeah, they just go crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so you're saying you're working at MLB.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I was working there, and that's when I really thought I could start. I still work at Fox Sports. I still work at sports, but I still think that I can work in comedy. And that's when I started doing open mics. And my first, I don't know, have you done stand up in New York before?
Where?
In New York City.
Yeah, Gotham.
Gotham. Right on. Yeah, Caroline's was the first place that I was at. And I used to tell the show we're talking about writing jokes and being precious with them. One of the first things I told was, you should always fall for your type unless your type is 2 diabetes. And I'm glad you guys like it. But it's like I would think, oh, and whenever anyone wouldn't laugh at it, I was like, man, that's a fucking, can I, my bad, I don't know if I can cuss.
No, yeah, you can. Okay. You can fucking cuss me.
I already did anyway.
I like it. I like that people are so like, oh, can I fucking cuss me?
Well, it's weird because it's a play on words. It's a wordplay joke. Yeah. So it's weird how you really, when it comes to a wordplay joke, you have to. It's got to be a certain type of delivery. Mm-hmm. You have to establish yourself with the audience in a certain way.
I think you have to be in a certain mood.
You have to be a certain mood. Personally. You have to make sure that audience knows who you like. Knows what type of comic you're gonna be.
Yeah.
Up there, wordplay humor is so hard to do up there.
Eddie so wants to be in your second book right now.
No, I'm just saying.
This is exactly
it's a totally
about.
Different
no,
type
no, no,
of
you're right,
stand-up
you're right,
comedy.
Yeah,
because people do that and people will go.
Yeah, I know.
They'll be like, the audience will groan if you don't deliver. It can be the funniest wordplay joke ever.
Yeah.
But if you don't deliver it in a certain way.
And it's a popsicle stick joke. If it doesn't sound A+, then it's like, okay, this is like a doctor's office kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there are comics that are storytellers and they can get up there and talk for 30 minutes and every minute something really captivating happens. I don't know if I'm in that place yet. I like being economical and I like to me, that's more impressive if you can, like, be really funny. And
so you're like Mitch Hedberg.
You're a laugh per minute, laugh per minute guy?
Yeah, I think that's another reason, not to talk about John Oliver again, but that's another reason why his show is really good. Because
it's like, bam, bam, bam. I like comics like that, too. But I do like the long-winded story and then just like, oh, my God, you're going to keel over. That's like, those are the best, too.
How long have you been doing it?
Like 3.5 years. But the thing is... I work so much at night. It really sucks. I'm always working at night. So I can't go to as many mics as I want to, which is, you know, an excuse. But I gotta quit my job.
Quit your job, man. Put it all on stand-up.
I'm all in.
It'll pay off.
So let's read some more from the book.
Sure.
What are you going to read us next?
Sure. You know, this is a music... show in part mostly, right?
No, it's everything.
It's everything.
Yeah, it's well. I mean, we get a lot of music because I love to have musicians on here.
Yeah,
but I love comedy. That's one of the reasons I was like, Eddie, let's do a show together, man. You and me, man. You be the funny guy, and I'll just antagonize you with really bad jokes.
Straight
and fart sounds.
And fart sounds.
That's pretty much it. Yeah,
we're gonna get a farting in here. The next thing, actually, that's why I brought that up. The next thing I want to talk about is this guy named Mike Benner, who was a PA on King of the Hill, and he worked on Bob's Burgers, and he's from out here in L.A. I asked him about rap and comedy and how they intersect.
Right.
Because you don't hear about it a lot. And he had some interesting comments. He said, "I think I'm about the millionth person to make this observation, but rap and comedy have a lot of overlap. Good rappers are usually funny and treat two or four bars like a joke. Set up, punchline. I mean, there are so many rappers with a good sense of humor. Biggie was funny. Kanye is funny. Cameron is funny. Even Kendrick Lamar, who by far our most self-conscious rapper, has equated Martin Luther King's dream to his own personal dream of having an Eiffel Tower-sized dick, so that he can have sex with the planet Earth. That's some very funny shit." And then he goes on to talk about Snoop Dogg and ASAP Rocky. But joke structure, rappers are so impressive because they don't get any credit that comedians get for like pulling off a cunning joke.
Yeah,
they just have to be like biting and almost like almost outrageous.
Yes,
but they don't get any credit for being funny. I think a lot of rappers could be really good comedians if they just kind of switch their focus. Yeah, but that's Mike Benner, and they really do it.
Like sometimes it's crazy because like when they do it off the cuff too.
Yeah,
I went to a show where Eddie. What was the show where it's like you let the audience choose the topic?
Yeah, you just, what's it called? It's Jeremiah Watkins. You know Jeremiah Watkins?
We've never met.
Oh, he has a show called, like, what's it, Stand Up on the Spot? Oh,
okay, yeah.
Anywhere you just, the audience throws you suggestions and you just make up.
How hard is that? I've never done that.
It's not that. If you try to, it's difficult. You can approach it a couple different ways. If you're on stage and someone throws you out of, like, you know.
Xylophone.
You can try to, like, in your head, create a xylophone joke with a setup and a punch, which is difficult. Or you can think of, like, what story in your life does xylophone make you think of? And just.
Okay, and then maybe you get some more time.
And just started doing a stream of consciousness about, you know, some period in your life when you had to play a xylophone in music class. Yeah. However you can connect it to something, go that way. But to actually try to write a xylophone joke.
Gosh.
On the spot, you're kind of like it's gonna.
You have 6 minutes to be up there. Like, yeah, hold on, guys. Well, you do, but
well, you exhaust it. You exhaust it for a couple minutes or a minute, and then someone you go, "All right, another suggestion." Yeah. And someone throws something else out.
But that's fine.
You just try to like have it trigger something in your head.
Yeah, stay sharp.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't have to be about the xylophone.
Creative. Yeah. I mean, that is like that's like somebody saying, "Oh, write a song right now," and it's like, it doesn't work like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me,
it's freestyle rapping versus like you know composing something.
Yeah. That's why I'm so impressed with that. I'm so impressed. I can improvise on guitar or piano, but when it's or even with vocals, but I can't just like write a song like in 30 seconds. I mean, it just would be weird.
Well, most people can't write a joke in 30 seconds. I mean, you can. It's kind of hard to get the structure. Yeah, you're telling a funny story more times than not.
I think you have some things in your bank usually.
Yeah,
things you've written through the years or whatever where you can access. Categories, and hopefully you can do that quickly. I think that's where you want to be.
What was the biggest obstacle for you writing the book?
Sorry.
It's all right.
The typing.
The typing was the hardest.
Yeah. Discipline.
The typing the hardest part.
Reading my words again. Or their words. Perseverance. It sounds lame, but perseverance. I talked to someone with... I don't know if I should say her name, because I haven't talked to her recently, but she works at Pedigree. And she gave me a lot of...
The dog food company?
She works for the dog... Yeah, she actually invented Kibbles and Bits.
Wow,
and,
really?
You know, fart sounds is actually the precursor to fart shits. No.
Can't wait.
She, fart shits. That doesn't make sense.
Oh, it makes sense, all right.
Yeah, I know. Somewhere in between. I've been there, too. She read over a lot of my work, and she gave me a lot of pointers. And I thought that I was going to... For a while, I thought I was going to, like, I kept pitching these to different outlets and publications, sometimes just websites, and a lot of, like, okay, this looks good, but we're already doing something like that, or, oh, this is good, but, you know, one big thing is, like, your social background has to be, like, on point to be published, basically.
Really?
Yeah. That's, like, a big thing. It's like, oh, man, you know, the premise is good, like, she was even a comedian herself, and she's like, oh, this is a passion project, but, you know, to really push these things, you have to have certain... benchmarks already, and that you know.
On your social media?
Yeah, I didn't cut it, but she did give me a lot of good pointers, and so the hardest thing was just like kind of believing in myself.
that's everything.
Yeah,
it's like coming up with the idea and just seeing it through.
Yeah,
it's like 95% of it. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's crazy. Like I didn't even know you were putting this together.
That's the thing, and that's kind of how I wanted it.
Well, maybe if you'd known, you could have got me in the book.
Had I known, I would have.
Had you known.
It wasn't.
Maybe you should talk to the people you live with every once in a while. Maybe you should have conversations with people you live with. Instead of just grunt at them as they walk out the door.
We got back in contact because I was singing at Dodger Stadium. He's like, dude, that's awesome, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I was like, awesome. Then I saw his post about the book. I was like, dude, you wrote a book. That's amazing.
He lined up perfectly.
Yeah.
Why a penguin with a light bulb over his head?
Great question. I love that question. Jill Twist, the lady I was just talking about a minute ago. Another thing she said was penguins make everything better. Penguins make everything funnier. I stole a lot of ideas, I guess.
You're a plagiarizer.
A penguin farting with an idea.
What does she mean?
Well,
was she just trying to be funny?
I think she just likes penguins, and they're cute. Like, you know, koala bears. You think they're cute.
Well, penguins are a funny animal. I mean, the way they waddle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, some animals are...
Some animals are just funnier than other animals.
Yeah. Ducks are funny. They can't really fly.
Yeah.
If there's a hindrance, I think it makes them funnier. Like, little horses are funny, but regular-sized horses are just whatever.
Penguin can't do the splits. That's hilarious.
Yeah. You gotta have something against you. But
Or can they?
I know. We're gonna do another study. She said that, and I wanted to put on the cover. And he said the thing about farts, so I wanted to put on the cover. And I made the image, but...
So basically, anyone who said anything at that period in your life would have been on the cover.
Wait, you made the image? You did the cover?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's crazy.
You photoshopped it?
I put it together in Photoshop.
So you plagiarized that too?
You just Google imaged a penguin.
So you wrote a book about with somebody else's words and then put somebody else's image on it.
Yeah.
How much work did you do on this book?
All of the other stuff, if that makes sense.
Well, the organization. Yeah. How did you know who to start with?
The first interview.
Alphabet?
The first interview is a guy named Cyrus McQueen. He, the guy, again, the first person I said yes, he was on Last Comic Standing, and he was in a movie called Obvious Child, and he was a security guard at the stand, at, I think, Stand Up New York for like 10 years, and then he became a comic. And
what made him want to be a comic?
You know what he says this, is that he just wasn't, well, I don't know what made him want to be a comic, but he wasn't getting into clubs when he first tried being a comic,
right.
And he worked at a comedy club. So I think that the frustration made him want to be good at comedy. I'm not sure exactly why he first started, but I know why he got good.
And how did you figure out who was going to end the book? Like, what's the arc, like how's the arc of the book? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, did you go thematically? Did you kind of have a, like, okay, I want to start with this. What was your game plan?
Good question. I just wanted different sections. It's pretty simple. I have improv, late night TV, stand-up comedians and animated shows, and I wanted those to be separate. I ended it with a guy named Jesus Trejo, who is also from LA, another really good person.
Mm-hmm.
You know? What really good guy. I wanted his to be last because the last thing he says is, "What do I know?" That's just the last thing he says. So I didn't want that to be the last thing. But yeah, because at the end of the day,
end
I want
the
to
question.
Repeat this again. I am not a professional. I'm not, you know, a veteran. I'm not even tenured. People might forget this, but I did write this to learn more of myself.
That's awesome.
So,
Well, let's talk about that. What's the best thing that you learned from this experience?
From the whole experience?
Yeah.
Like, doing it?
Yeah.
Just finishing. Just that people are really surprised when you do something like this. I didn't really tell a lot of people that I was doing it.
Yeah, when you have your own book, people are like, damn, you have a book.
No, that's a impressive. Big deal. It's a big deal because of just the amount of time you invested.
It took a lot of time.
I mean?
Yeah. And I wanted to, and I didn't, it was by design because, like, at least me personally, a lot of times when I tell people that I'm doing something, I get a lot of reasons to not do it. I get a lot of reasons to say, you know, hey, you know, well, you know, good luck, but, it's, you know, a lot of people don't make it out.
You just didn't want anybody
to. I didn't want any negativity. Yeah.
Good.
And even if it didn't come out great, I was like, okay, well, I had my blinders on.
Well, there's so much of that, too. There's so many haters with stuff like that.
Sure.
And then, but if you come out with a book, then it's like, oh my God!
Yeah,
you did it. You did it. I wish I was, you know, part of that.
Yeah.
Eddie,
what?
Yes,
it's not like he brought the idea to me and I shat on it, and then he went away.
Oh,
I never knew about the idea.
You only did that once. In your defense, you only did it once.
I only shat on ideas once.
Okay, what would you have added to the book, Eddie?
Oh, good.
I don't know.
We could do it right now.
What do I know,
Eddie? Where'd you grow up?
I'm drinking water, Virginia.
Virginia.
See?
When did you move? How long were you in Virginia, and when did you move to LA?
I grew up my whole life in Virginia. Moved to Los Angeles in 1997 at the age of 23.
What made you want to come out here?
do comedy.
Was there someone in your corner, or was it just
no? Like, well, my family's always been supportive.
Yeah.
Why are we interviewing me?
I don't know. Well, no, I wanna, I don't know. That was how you interviewed the comedians. It's actually
yeah, but
cool.
Wait, I've been on the show every week. He's the guest.
You're like,
yeah.
It's all about me. No, but is that the style that you interviewed everybody?
Basically, yeah.
And did you do every interview in person?
No, a lot of them were email or phone. Jenna Friedman, I actually interviewed her on her last day at the Daily Show. That was probably the most special because she was talking to me and. The whole time I was like, wow, she really doesn't have to do this. And, you know, she did it anyways.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how many comics do you think you contacted in total?
Oh gosh. maybe like 300.
300.
And how many are in the book?
65.
Are the ones that said yes in the book, or were there ones that said yes you cut out?
Hold on, Eddie. 235 comedians said no. That is ridiculous.
Well, I just want to know, like, what...
Roughly, dude,
so,
roughly.
All the ones that said yes.
We talk about comedians all the time. They're so flaky. It's like crazy.
Yeah, well, some said yes and then said no. Some, you know. But I get it because I wasn't paying them, so I get it. Where did you say just before?
No, it's just like how many. Where anyone said, anybody say yes and you didn't put them in the book?
Yeah, I know. There's one.
There are people that didn't make the cut that said yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And. There's one person I need to talk to. I don't want to do it here.
No, you have to do it. We don't need to name names.
Let's call him
my
right
dad.
Now.
We don't need to name names.
Dad, I didn't put him in the book. No.
Oh, so is he expecting to be in the book? And he doesn't know about it?
No, nothing like that.
Oh.
Well.
Yes, he expects to be in the book.
I don't think so.
Did you
here's
tell
the thing,
him?
Here's the thing.
Just never talk to him again.
That's hard on your soul. But here's the thing. There's like certain price points based on the page number. And I had to get it's already too, it's like already pretty long,
right?
And I was trying to get it down to it's like I need to drop the price even probably. So there was probably maybe 15 or so that
didn't
I interviewed
make the cut.
That run. I did a web series on medium.com/jokewriting, which is still up. And they're there, but they didn't all make it. I feel really bad because again, I am not a great comedian. They're all like the comedians that got cut are all like probably funnier than me and like. Man, like a little...
And you just didn't think it fit? They didn't fit? Or it was just like a regurgitation of something else that was already in there?
Well, a couple things. The final count, I think, is 63. I got really close to 66, and I did not want to end on that number or near that number. So the one thing, that's why I stopped toward the end.
Another why 66? Why?
I have a bad, you know, like 666, and I have like my social has those numbers in it somewhere. It's like, man, now I finally write a book and then it has to be like 66.
Maybe that number is special to you.
Oh man, I know. I hope not.
Make the bad.
Well, it is actually. It is either way. It's, unfortunately, yeah, it is. Yeah.
I don't think the God. I don't think they have phone numbers.
Yeah.
Supernatural beings.
Let's read something else. This is interesting. Let's read something else.
Yeah, I got another one here. Oh, another funny comic named Jack Knight. I met right when I came back to LA after college, and just like on the street and going to Nerd Melt. He was like 17 or 18, and he's like a phenom. He's like he's gonna be really big one day. I'm pumping him up.
All right.
Well, you should. He's in your book.
Yeah.
You should pump him up.
But he doesn't need me. He's already really good. But I asked him about writers' rooms. Because I've never been a part of one, and I don't really know how they operate. And I asked him, what makes for a good writer's room? And he said something really short and sweet. He said, playing your position. Say a writing room is the Golden State Warriors. I'm the Leandro Barbosa. I just come in, say funny shit, and shut up. Let the Harvard guys be the Harvard guys. Let the showrunner showrun. Let the quiet weirdo genius who randomly drops in fix the line and fix everything. The writer's room is a team. Respect everyone, and from my experience, you'll get a good product. You know, he's talking about sports, so I always like sports references.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Barbosa, for those of you who don't know, he's like the almost a sixth man. He's a veteran on a really good team who just comes in, plays like 15 minutes, and he's really efficient. And like I said, let the Harvard guys be the Harvard guys. Like, you know, be yourself. I think there's just a lot of good, really good
points
awesome.
In there. That's awesome.
Yeah,
and he's a comic that's performing, or he's one of the stand-up comedians.
Yeah, he's. I think he's on the road right now, but he's been on Comedy Central. He's been on. he was on. I think he's on Viceland for something. But
so were you fans of all of these comics?
Yeah, they're all people I think are really fun.
Wow.
I think that's why I finished it, because I just was fans of these people.
You must have sat on YouTube and just like watched a ton. I love doing that anyway. It's just like check out funny videos.
Yeah. But
man, it's like when you're looking for like a research project, you're combing through a lot more videos than just a casual stream.
It was not casual. It was very much research. and you know what? I was thinking about that recently. I used to work in the newsroom at Fox. So what I had to do, basically send a lot of emails to different stations. We had, like, basically have to ask for favors if... like if Anderson Silva breaks his leg and we don't have that video, and let's say ESPN has that video, we have to usually email or call him and say, hey, you know, can we get 15 seconds? Are we allowed to run this online? When can you send it to me? How can you send it to me? I did that for like 2 years, and I got really good at it. And I think that's the reason why this happened. I think because I just got really good at kind of cold calls.
Yeah.
And kind of just reaching out to people. Like, right. You know, you don't know who I am, but I'm here for a good reason. And, you know, can I help you? Can you help me? I think that's where it started.
That's awesome. What a great idea. I want to hear something, if you don't mind, from the animated part of the,
sure.
of the book.
Sure.
Because I think that's a really interesting angle, because I love animated comedy. I mean, that's like one of my favorite parts.
There was...
I see you got pictures in there. Who got pictures in there?
How did these are just pictures of them.
That's awesome. Yeah, were you like, can I get a headshot from you? That would be really swell.
Yeah. It's okay if I use this. This is actually the shortest section, but there was someone who was a puppeteer in New York, and let me see if I can find something good.
I'm putting him on the spot. You see that, Eddie?
Do it.
I threw an audible. Hang on. Sent me all these blurbs. I was like, that's awesome. They all look great. That's perfect.
let's do the anime thing. Cause like a bunch of dead air.
That's
good
right.
stuff.
Hey,
good call.
I like audibles, man.
Excellent
Come
call.
On.
Good stuff.
You guys chat amongst yourselves, maybe.
We already know each other.
So, Eddie, are you pretty bitter that you're not in this book?
Yeah, super bitter.
You're like,
holding on to it.
I should have been.
It's an anchor on my neck.
Well, you know what?
I didn't know him. How would
he's
we even,
gonna,
like.
He's going to write another one.
Yeah, probably.
He's going to write fart shits.
It sounds like he's out of
you're
the
all,
book writing business.
You're definitely about fart shits.
Fart shits, volume 2.
No, fart sounds is a good name for a book. I mean, honestly.
I like it. It's funny.
I knew
it's
the
a great
book
idea.
Was good because of the name. I was like, the name.
Well, they always do these things like I was skimming through the book, and it's like these little mini interviews with comedians.
Yeah.
And most times, like if a comic is on, like one time I was on Comedy Central years ago, they send you they do like a web profile for you, and so you get like this huge questionnaire, a lot of similar questions, and you answer all these questions, and it's part of your web profile on ComedyCentral.com or whatever. So it's just kind of cool to.
It's a book version of that. It's kind of like a podcast in a book.
Yeah.
Right? So.
You should do an audiobook, dude.
Yeah, I know. I will, probably. Yeah. Well, okay. Getting back to your question.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So there's a lady named April Brucker. She's from New York. She grew up in Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, and she's a puppeteer. And I asked her how she got into puppetry. She said, "What I enjoy most about ventriloquism is the ability to create a new character, giving it a voice, personality, and a backstory. It's almost like that I'm a supreme being breathing life into her creation. Plus, they say whatever I want them to, whenever I want them to. The lesson I've learned along the way is always to have fun and to keep learning. As a result, I have become a student and, to the extent, mastered the rod as well as the Balinese shell puppetry."
Eddie's mastered the rod.
I mastered it a long time ago. I was like 15.
You get a certificate when you
he
do it.
He masters
right?
his rod every night, if you know what I mean. No, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Like, yeah. I try to. I mean, she's different. There's no other puppet artist or ventriloquist in the book. And
I'm sure you weren't like, gotta get 30 puppeteers in here.
I reached out to 400.
And they all said no.
They
fucking
all said
assholes.
No.
Through their.
What was the most obnoxious? You don't have to say who said it, but what was the most obnoxious response you got?
Oh, I got one response that was just a reply email that wasn't meant for me. It was supposed to be like their manager to the client, but they sent it to me on accident. And the email was just, it looks like just a bunch of no names. We don't need to do this. But he sent it to me.
The manager sent that to the comic?
Yeah. He said
wow.
it to me. And by the way, he was not wrong at the time.
Right.
It was not completely wrong.
You should send him the book.
Huh?
You should send him the book.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah.
No, just be like, hey. Just show you there are some names in here too.
Yeah, exactly.
Motherfucker. Just kidding.
That was the most.
No, I think sometimes people have to learn.
No, there's a lot of short sightedness on the business side of this business.
A lot of short. Very fortunate. A lot of short sightedness on the business side in this business.
It's very true.
It's almost like a.
If you don't have a name right now, or you don't have 100,000 Twitter followers, you don't exist. Even though you.
It's like, how am I going to get those?
Like, get a bunch of bots and pay for them.
Yeah.
Just to show them the number.
Well, Eddie and I joke because like we try to get comments. I love getting comments on the show.
Yeah, this usually doesn't work out either.
Pay $100, get 100,000 bot followers on Twitter and go in the office and go, there's 100,000.
All right. Oh my God, you're great.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Something so different about you.
It doesn't translate to anything.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense. I agree. No, Eddie and I always talk about, because we try to get as many comics in here as possible. And it's like, they're so flaky. It's just like, they don't always want to just like, I don't get that. Eddie,
what do you think that is?
Yeah, why is that?
Comics are always looking for the bigger, better deal.
But what is like?
They like to keep their comics.
He's
keep
doing
their
a
options
book
open
on comedy with comics.
They like to keep their options. Well,
there's no reason a comic should say no.
But who am I though?
Comics
doesn't matter. How long was the interview? How long was the longest interview that you had?
None of them took long.
Like, give me time, like 4 minutes?
Oh, well, I mean, a lot of them were just over email. So a lot of them was just, I emailed them questions and said, hey, respond whenever you have time.
Comics,
I'm putting this together.
Comics,
okay, so let's say 15 minutes is the longest.
Yeah, exactly.
You're telling me there's, I mean, even if you're Jerry Seinfeld.
But even then, you could jerk off for 15 minutes free.
Comics do a lot of pro bono work when they do a lot of free, we do a lot of free shows. And I think a lot of times when comics are offered to have their work put into print somehow, and there's no monetary gain for it.
Yeah.
You get really weird about things because it's like, okay, so what, you're going to make money off me talking? Like, comics get really weird about that
stuff.
I'm
in a weird spot right now where I'm buying books for everyone that's in it, and it's kind of expensive. And,
right.
It's very... it's...
And I've done the math, like, every night. Like, if I gave every... If everyone got an equal cut, 63 comics plus me, 64, like, everyone would make, like... It's like 60 cents right now, and it would be like $10 if I'm. It would be like $10 if the book made like $5,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, but and even if that's even.
But
if
you just did a nice thing and did an interesting project, and it's cool to have. Like I've done something like that. I had a comic friend of mine in Orange County did a book where just taking old stories, the weirdest stand up stories we'd ever had.
Yeah. Okay.
And I gave him a story.
Okay.
From what I did, like some weird. It was some weird. A Christmas party at like some electronic company, almost like a Sony or whatever, down in Orange County, and it was like all the heads of the Japanese company were there, so like half the audience was Japanese, didn't speak English, and we had to do stand up in front of them, and the other half was like the dock workers, like redneck Americans, these two different, and then like, right before the show started, like the president of the company came out and said how they're going to do some layoffs this coming year. And then we had to go.
Good environment.
So it's just like the worst. But like I gave that story to him.
Yeah.
And he put it in the book. And I don't know if he's made any money. I don't care. But some comics feel weird giving stuff away.
And I think that's totally justified. Because we were saying before, it's so hard to continually make money in this industry. So
I don't know. I think musicians are just like, I'll do something like that. It's cool. I just don't get how comedians are like, no, I cannot do that.
Here's another thing.
Yes, you can. You don't have to load in gear. You don't have to.
They can. They just don't want someone else making money off of them if they don't get any money out of it.
Yeah, but it's like it's
because it's so hard to make money in this business as it is.
That's fair. I know. I'm thinking I need to donate the money to charity again. $63. I don't think it's going up.
Let me ask you one more question. Where can people find the book? Or are you going to say one more thing?
Oh, well, one more thing about comedians. I think they're more like boxers. Like boxers, they just have to be self-promotional.
Yeah.
They're not on a team. They don't get paid by the team or the league. Or even by the league. You have to go out and get your next fight. And I think comedians are like, well, there's only so much boxing money out there. You know, there's only so much pot money that you have to be a little more greedy with your time. That being said,
you should be.
Anyway, where can we find the book?
Where can people find the book?
If you follow me on Twitter at withzuri, WITHZURI, it's in my description. It's also on Amazon. You can search Fart Sounds, FARTSOUND.
Are you on iBooks? Can you on iBooks?
It's loading now onto iBooks. I think it's in Barnes & Noble. I'll have more information out.
That's amazing.
Good stuff.
You know, another shout out to CreateSpace. They're the ones that publish this for me. They don't charge you until someone buys it. So you basically work on it, you make a PDF, you upload it, and then when someone buys it, they print the book. So there's no real loss if it's a dud. So that's how I got it done.
Good stuff.
Fantastic. Zuri, you had a plan, You made it happen.
Thank you, guys.
And you know what? It was such a pleasure to have you. Nice shot, Eddie.
Likewise.
And we'll definitely have you back. And next time, for the second part.
Yeah.
One last thing.
Just be apologies.
One last thing. I want to dedicate a song to my best friend, Sean. This is a song we used to drive down to the beach for a bunch of beach parties when we were in high school. It's a Stone Temple Pilots song called The Big Empty. Sean, I'm going to miss you. I love you, man. And rest in peace.
Falling faster.